All right, we are ready to go. This is the lesson on kingdom living. We're going to start with the picture, a complete picture. And today, we're just going to review quickly where we've been through. All right, so the kingdom, we started about this idea that God has building a kingdom. It's like the paper that you're writing on. God's kingdom represents the landowner permit that gives us permission to build. So God is building the kingdom. He's the builder, and he's given us the permit. There it is. The early church is like the soil. We learned about the early church. And the early church represents the people of the early church, where God planted his teachings, and we get to see how they did it. There's the soil. I believe it's the faith part, the foundation that we build our own personal relationship with the Lord on. There's the foundation. God the Creator is the architect. He represents the God who designs the whole project. There's probably not a good picture of God, but for today it works. Then we talked about God Almighty, that he's mighty, awesome, incredible, and he's like a fireplace that we need to treat with respect, special respect. That's how we treat God. And then we talked about God the Father, and he's like the roof. It represents the God that covers us, protects us, loves us, cares for us. So there's the roof that protects us in the house from all the rain and the storms. Jesus the Son is the doorway into God and knowing him. So the Bible says over and over, Jesus is the way. I am the way, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is the contractor. So he does all the work in our lives. He lives in us, dwells in us, and there he is doing some work. And then we have the church. We're all part of the church. We're part of God's family. And that's like the walls that contain all God's people inside. Forgiveness we learned about. And forgiveness is like the window. It's the gospel message that we can be forgiven. It's how light goes into the world through the window of forgiveness. And then we talked about last week was resurrection, where we have an inspector, a great judgment day that's coming in the end in our resurrection day. And the inspector determines if we built right. So he says how we lived our lives. He's going to inspect all those things and whether we chose Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So that'll be an incredible day. And when a house is done, the inspector comes to check and see if it's done right. And today is our second last lesson. We started talking about the kingdom of God, and today we're going to talk about kingdom living. So we introduced the kingdom. We've gone through the creed now from beginning to end. Today we are going to talk about kingdom living, which is all about you enjoying living in this house that God has created for us. So there's this house, we've talked about all the different parts of it, and we get to enjoy living in it. That's what today is all about. So we're going to talk about living in the kingdom. Oh, there's that you? It might be you. Oh, or maybe that's you.
I'm the first one.
You get to pick which one you want to be. Okay. Okay. Let's turn to kingdom living. First page of your next lesson. Everybody turn there. Oh, wait. Did you guys... Oh, yeah. You have to draw yourself. That's what. Make sure you draw yourself in the picture somewhere. Sorry.
Okay.
I should give you a second to do that before we...
I don't know how to draw a unicorn.
Before we get started.
What?
These were just some ideas for you, what you might look like.
Some creepy... ideas.
Creepy? That's a nice old lady.
I just gotta give it a Squidward face, then it's me.
All right, make sure you put yourself into the picture somewhere. It's you enjoying the house, good life, good living, living in the kingdom.
Ask me a question.
You have a question, sir?
Look at me.
Workers and stuff up in
the they kind of look like that, don't they? It could be. You could be right about that. All right. Now we're going to get started. Everyone flip over to the kingdom page. Kingdom lesson. Lesson number one.
Kingdom lesson.
And when you get there, look up Philippians 3, 17 to 21. Look them up in your Bibles. Get your Bibles happening.
Which one are we on? Lesson 10? Are we on 10? No.
We're on 12. One more. There you go. Should say kingdom living at the top.
Philippians 3, verse 17.
All right, you guys should be good at finding this stuff here now.
I have this from my Bible memory at school.
I found it, yeah.
Excellent.
I have this from my Bible memory at school.
Okay, just wait till everybody finds it.
Philippians is all the way at the end.
Get your Bible then. Do you need a Bible today, bud? Or you got
yeah.
You need one?
It's at the end.
Anybody else need a Bible?
No.
Here you go, bud.
Yeah. Do I read all through 21?
Yeah.
To 22.
Yeah, she stopped when the number says 22.
Sarah.
Yeah. Got a kill?
John 1.
Everybody finding it? Logan, you got her, buddy?
John 1. Almost there. I can't find it.
Yeah, don't stop
for
it.
Save that
for later.
I can't find it.
Who's still looking? Can't find it there? What are we looking for? Philippians. It's in the New Testament.
Yeah.
In sort of the middle. There it is.
There's no 22.
All right, go ahead and read. Nice and loud.
Brothers, join in imitating me as I am those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now let you even with tears walk as
bellies, yeah.
And the glory in their shame with mindset on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform into a lowly body like his glorious body,
but the power
that enables him and even subject all things to himself.
Okay, so something is going to take place where we will be transformed. We talked about Resurrection Day last week. And we know that day is coming, but the Bible tells us that we are already, if we have made Jesus our Lord and Savior, we are already now citizens of heaven. That's the language the Bible uses. We are already citizens of heaven. Now, how would you know, let's just write down, fill in the blanks here. Okay, so go ahead and fill these in. It's very important that we understand that we are citizens of heaven now. We usher in the kingdom of heaven when we let him rule in our lives. Okay, so we are already part citizens of heaven now, and we usher in the kingdom of heaven when we let him, the ruler of kingdom of heaven, when we let him rule in our lives and when we carry out his will. Okay? we all have an important part to play in establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth. So we talked about this last week a little bit in class, how God is building this kingdom, and we can play a part in establishing his kingdom on this earth. It's amazing to think that we can play a part in this, in the kingdom God is building. Is this a kingdom we can see that God is building? Can we see the kingdom that God is building right now?
Not yet.
No, it's not one we can see with our eyes, but he's building it all over the world. Okay? Now, I have a question for you. When you're a citizen of something, you carry something with you. So we are citizens of what country?
Canada.
Canada. So if we were to go somewhere like Africa or Australia, what kinds of things would they look at us and go, hey, that guy's a Canadian? How would they know that? We might talk about hockey a lot. That might be one thing, because Canadians generally love hockey. They don't play hockey in Africa, right? But we'd be like, hockey, they'd be like, what's that? And we'd explain it, they're like, wow, you're not from around here, are you? What else? How else would you identify a Canadian? It is Russia. Russians love it too. So they might not know if you're from Russia or from Canada. So some things are similar. What else? How else would they know if you're from Canada? What else might set you apart? Seth?
If you're going to Africa.
Yeah.
If you have lots of food and stuff and clean water and they don't have that.
Yeah. They're not used to that. So they hear about the food you eat and the water you drink. You maybe have it with you and they're like, where did you get that? We're like, we got so much water in Canada, we don't know what to do with it. We swim in it. It's so awesome. What else? Yes. How else you know somebody's from Canada? What's that? Lacrosse, maybe. That's our national sport. Not a lot of people would know that, but they would definitely think, where do you play that sport? How else, Ben?
If you're riding a moose.
If you were riding a moose. If you said, there's a picture. You pulled out a picture and you're riding a moose. People would be like, whoa. Where in the world do you live, right? There's only so many places. And if you haven't seen somebody ride a moose, you got to Google guy riding moose. There's a hilarious picture of a guy getting out of a boat, jumping on a moose. And then the moose runs out of the lake and he goes flying off.
I watched the video.
That's pretty awesome. Yes, so if you're riding a moose, they would know. Yes, what else?
Maybe if they saw your coins.
They saw your money and they would say, that's weird, colorful money. Where in the right?
Money!
They'd be like, what kind of money is that? It's like Canadian money.
Ooh,
right? So there's all these things that make that because we're Canadian, wherever we go around the world, we bring something different, right? What else, you know?
There was a guy that was selling Canadian Tire money.
Yeah.
To these people in Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh boy, he's Canadian.
They were selling Canadian Tire money.
He
nice.
He was selling it for like 50 bucks.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's pretty good. Yeah, so Canadian Tire money, that's what we have in Canada. If you try and spend that anywhere outside of Canada, it's probably not going to work. But somebody managed to fool somebody. That's pretty good. So there's all these things that make us Canadian. How would you know if you met somebody here in Canada and they were from a different country? What kinds of things have you noticed that are different about them? Yeah? Yes, maybe it's the color of their skin. What else? Yeah?
Their clothing.
Their clothing might look very different. Yeah. There's some very different ways to dress than we dress here, isn't there? What else? How about the way they talk? Anybody notice people from another country just by the way they talk?
Like, yo.
Yeah, you have people who talk with different accents, right? So if they're from Britain, they have a... I can't do accents for Britain very good. Let's go try one, but let's see if I can do it. Yes, like the Crawfords. Can you do one? You guys hang around the Crawfords a lot. What's their accent sound like?
I never knew. I can do it.
Try it. Give us your best. Give us your best go, a British accent.
I don't think that's what their accent is like.
Let's go for a cup of tea. Come to my house. It's very proper. It's a very proper language. From Australia, you might hear it more like, hey, mate. They talk like
bro,
that.
Oh, bro,
my
bro.
Name is Freddy.
Yes. Can anybody do an accent of like a German weightlifter or Austrian weightlifter?
My name is
Austrian. How about an Australian? His name is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Can anybody do that one?
My name is Arnold.
Anyone do a John Cena accent?
Here to pump you up, y'all.
Okay, you're gonna have three.
What? Oh, I just copied this guy's account.
So no, you weren't.
Okay, now listen. This is important. I don't want you to miss this guy. So you can recognize people from different countries, right? By the way they talk, the things they do. What else, Logan? The food they like. Yeah. You can go by East Indian people's homes and you can smell the curry. And you walk in their house and it's just like,
hungry.
Whoa.
You're making me hungry.
Okay. So this is important, guys. So we, people, whatever country you're from, you carry that with you wherever you go. The same is true of people who are now citizens of heaven. Wherever we go, we represent the kingdom of heaven. Okay, does that make sense? So here's the question for you. What kinds of things would a citizen of heaven carry with them? How could you tell that they're a citizen of heaven?
Love.
You have an answer, yeah?
Gold.
They have gold? Maybe. What else?
They talk about God a lot?
They would probably talk about God a lot, yeah.
God is so amazing.
Yeah. Very true. What else?
Like, with their holy bodies.
What's that?
Their new bodies.
Yeah, one day they're going to have a new body. But even before we get new bodies... Even before then, so Jesus got a new body, so that was different. He could just show up in places, which was very cool. I can't wait till I can just appear in places. That's going to be fun.
Awesome, like,
I just got to think it. I want to be
like
in Paris. Boom. And I'm there. All right, so that's going to be fun, but we don't have those yet. We don't have those yet, so how will people recognize citizens of heaven? How else? We talked about God a lot. That was a good one. What else? How else will we recognize citizens of heaven? What do we carry with us as citizens of heaven?
A Bible.
Maybe we have a Bible. We love the Bible. We read the Bible. Absolutely. Maybe you're even doing it. You're sitting in the restaurant reading your Bible.
Yeah.
Hey, I've done that before. People look at you weird. You're on the plane. People are like, oh, he's one of those guys. Yeah, what else?
You have a halo.
You might have a halo everywhere you go? Maybe. If it is, we can't see them, but that's possible. What else? Guys, let's put our drawings away, okay, guys? I want you to think about these things. What else makes you a citizen of heaven? Give me some answers. What makes you a citizen of heaven? Yes.
You won't sin.
Yeah. And we don't just go around sinning. We're trying not to sin, right? We're trying to live holy lives that seek after God and do things His way. Absolutely. So some people might go off, when you guys get a little bit older in school, their friends will get together and they'll go and get drunk on the weekend. And you won't, you'll choose not to do that. And they'll be like, well, that's different.
I'll read the Bible. It's like, try to read three Bibles every weekend.
Three Bibles every weekend? The whole thing?
Yeah. Like, there to there. Over again, nice. Studying everything.
Yeah, absolutely. They love and study the Bible. What else? Seth?
They don't like swear.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What else might you notice about a kingdom of citizen of heaven?
They go to different churches.
Yeah. They go to church every week. They're like addicted to church. They love it. They go. They have all these friends that they treat like family because they're going to church. What else?
Start like Bible camps, start churches, and you start like kids helping.
They're helping people in the community. Absolutely. They love to help and serve people. Excellent, you guys. That's how we identify citizens of heaven. These are the things that citizens of heaven will carry with them wherever they go. Guys, let's put the drawings away, okay? Yeah, you're noticeable as a citizen of heaven. And so now, all these things that we've been talking about, these are all part of being citizens in the kingdom of heaven. All right, next verse. Look it up. Colossians 3.
Got it.
Everyone look it up. Good, good. Okay, who would like to read this one for us? You want to read it, buddy? Okay, hold on. Let's make sure everybody's had a chance to find it. Everybody got it? Colossians chapter 3, big number 3, little 1 and 4.
Oh, I found it.
You guys are still getting there. Good morning. Okay, there's too much talking now. Remember the rules. All right, almost there.
Is this Colossians?
Yep. That's the one. Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 1. All right, I think we're ready. Go ahead and read it to us.
If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Excellent. Yeah, so the Bible tells us because we're citizens of heaven, we shouldn't think like everybody else does on earth. We shouldn't be caught up on the things on earth, but rather on the heavenly things that are important to God and his kingdom. So you can see this car, people can be obsessed with getting things in this world, cars and homes and things, right? But the Bible tells us to have our mind to think about, to focus on things that are heavenly, not things that are on the earth. Do you have something? Yeah, go quick. Okay, so let's fill in the blank here. So we currently live in this broken and fallen world, but we know this is only temporary. Right? Fill in the blanks, girls. We know this is only temporary. Right? What does temporary mean? You can tell me what temporary means, yeah?
It doesn't last forever.
Yeah, it's not forever. It's just short. It's short term. It's going to end soon. So we live in a world that's only temporary. So we shouldn't get caught up. If I told you, I want you guys have to stay in here for 5 minutes, and then you can leave, and there's going to be a party out there. All right? Does it make sense to get too worried about what's happening in here when you know there's a party about to happen out there? Somehow things in here just don't matter so much because you're excited about the party outside. And it's the same with life. Where it's only temporary, so we shouldn't get too caught up in this life. Because we know there's an eternal party that's coming that's going to be incredible. So we got to remember that in our heads. And we know what is to come. So we shouldn't get too caught up in earthly things. Rather, the things of this world should have little hold on us. And should not distract us from the things that are really important. So why I made you stay in this room for 5 minutes? I could make you do push-ups, sit-ups. You know, it could be hard. I could make you run on the spot. But when you think about what is to come, it suddenly makes it all worth it, right? It's like, yeah, I'll do some push-ups, I'll do sit-ups, because I know what's coming. It's going to be awesome. And so, in the same way, we need to keep our minds focused on what is to come and be heavenly minded. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have a question? Just stretching? All right, next verse.
Oh, I'm almost there.
All right, look it up. Matthew chapter 6. You want to read it for us when we're ready? Everyone look up Matthew 6.
Matthew.
Matthew 6.
Matthew. Matthew.
Matthew.
I'm
Matthew chapter 6.
Is it by Genesis?
No, it's in the New Testament, Libby.
Is it?
Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do you have that for us? You go ahead and read it. Nice and loud.
Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal.
Excellent. The Bible talks about treasure in heaven. Don't store up treasures on earth, it says. That can be destroyed and taken away and get old and ruined. Don't store up stuff like that that you can't keep. Store up treasures in heaven. So somehow, here's your fill in the blanks. Somehow the things that we do in this short period while we're on the earth and the hardships we endure, we have to last through, we have to push through the things we have to endure. Fill in the blanks, guys. Don't worry about the next verse yet. Okay, stay with me here. The things we have to endure in this life produce treasure in heaven. Somehow these things build up treasure for us in heaven. God will reward us for the efforts on this earth. So the things we do are going to be rewarded. So who can tell me what kinds of things does the Bible say God will reward? What kinds of things are important to God? What kinds of things is he going to say, you did a good job, and here's your reward? What kinds of things? Yeah?
Reading the Bible?
Yeah, when we pursue him, study about him, learn about him. Yes. What else? What else is God going to reward? You guys haven't thought about this much, hey? What's he going to reward? Have any of you... Have any of you had a reward from your mom and dad? Maybe like, you know, maybe they said, well, if you clean up your room for 5 days in a row, at the end of that, you will get a trip to Disneyland.
That would be awesome.
Maybe not quite that good, but something like that, right? You got a reward for what you did. The Bible says God is going to give us a reward. So the question is, what is he going to reward? Yeah, Logan? That is one of the rewards. That's what we're going to get. No pain. Those are the rewards we're going to get. But what is he going to give us a reward for? So that's what heaven's going to be like. But it talks about treasures in heaven, rewards, that we'll get crowns and we'll rule with him. They'll be given authority, all these different things. But what's he going to reward? Yeah? Our faith, yes. When we do things out of faith, when we take a step of faith and we do something that we're like, I don't know how this is going to work, but I know this is what God wants me to do, and we do it, that takes faith. God's going to reward that. Absolutely. Logan, what else is he going to reward? Forget it? Forgot? Keep thinking. It'll come back to you. What else, you guys? These creative guys that are drawing things, what is God going to reward?
I don't know.
What do you think he's going to reward on this earth? What kinds of things, if we do them, deserve reward in God's eyes? Seth? Worship. Yeah, when we worship him with all our hearts. He loves that. What else?
When we go and spread the word of God.
Oh, when we share the good news. Yeah. Do you think that makes God happy when we share the good news with somebody and they become part of God's family? I think that might be one of the highest rewards you could ever get. Would be bringing somebody else, helping them come into the family of God. Oh, I think that's a big one. I think that is a... God loves that. Maybe you might get a reward for every person you help bring to Jesus in some way. Wow. That would be cool. What else?
You could start a church.
Yeah, if you go out and build a church for God. Yeah, what else? Yes. Yeah, when we trust Him. Yeah, even when we feel like we don't know how this is going to go, but we trust Him through difficult times or hardships. Yeah, He's going to reward that. What do you think about this? How do you think God feels when we give somebody the biggest cookie instead of taking it ourselves? Did you know even the little things God's going to reward? When we serve people, when we love them, when we say, you know what, you can go first in line, you can go first. When we give up the things that we want and we let others have and we share with others, we give, we show love. You guys think God's going to reward that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's even the little things, you guys. The little things you do in your family every day, when you help take care of your little sister, your little brother, when you go to somebody and ask for forgiveness when you've done something wrong, everything we do that honors God, I think He's going to reward. And the Bible seems to tell us that that's what He's going to do. All right, next verse, John 14. John 14, verse 5. Everyone look that one up. Got it? John 14, looking it up, guys.
I have it. 1 and 2.
What do our notes say?
I have it.
Oh, dear.
It's right there. Let me just see. I did, too.
Yeah, it's right here. I got it wrong on here. That's no good.
It's right here.
I had it a long time ago. That's a pretty moon. I have it.
It's verses 1 and 2?
Yeah, I have it.
Why does it say that? I don't know. We're going to fix it right now. John chapter 14, you should have. Are you in 1 John or John?
I'm in John 13.
I lost our spot here.
I'm in John 14.
So that's kind of confusing. There's John, and then there's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John.
Oh.
So you got to find the Gospel of John.
1 John, 2 John.
And then John. There you go. Anybody else? Everybody else got her?
I got it.
So not 1 John.
I got it. I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Logan, you got her?
Yeah.
You want to read it for us? Okay, that's all. Follow along. Right. So God, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, don't let your hearts be troubled, ever. Never have to worry, because you can trust Me.
It's a lie.
And in My Father's house, there's many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. How many would like a place like that, eh?
Yes.
Is that what you picture?
Yeah!
Jesus says He's preparing a place for us in heaven, in God's kingdom. Yeah. I mean, whatever you can dream up, it's going to be even better than you can imagine. Okay? I know that? Because I know God, and I know He never stops doing things that blow my mind. And just when I think, wow, this is awesome, he's like, that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing, man. You ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? So Jesus said to His disciples, you're citizens of heaven, so you don't have to be worried. So whenever we feel worried or nervous or, you know, anything like that, we're not thinking rightly. We have to change the way we're thinking. So we talked about a scenario where I was going to keep you in here for 5 minutes and then take you out to a party. So in that 5 minutes, Imagine if it was really hard. Like, let's say the heat got turned way up. And it's like a sauna in here, and you're just like dying. It's like, oh, I just can't wait to get out of here. Or maybe, you know, or maybe a bunch of bats came in the room and started flying around, and like we're all hiding under tables. Okay? Or imagine if snakes came in on the door. We'd be all up on the chairs like, ah, snakes, snakes. So, but no matter what happens in here, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much we don't like it, when we know it's for a short period of time, and there's something good on the other side of this, you start to think, you know what? I can handle snakes for 5 minutes. I can handle bats. I can handle scorpions, windstorms, gnats, whatever. Whatever a gnat is. I can handle anything because I know that in 5 minutes, oh, only 4 minutes now, in only 4 minutes, there's going to be a party on the other side of that door.
So I can, 4 minutes
I can take
die?
It. Maybe. You never know, right? We don't know when we're going to die. We could get hit by an asteroid in 4 minutes.
Yay!
That's it. And then we're in heaven. We just don't know these things. But the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, we never have to worry. So whatever happens, whatever makes us like, I think this could be it. This could be it. Here's the fill in the blank. Okay?
Mr. B.
Here's your fill in the blank. As Christians, we don't need to even fear death, you guys. Even death, we don't have to be afraid of. As Christians, it's so awesome. Like, if you don't have to be afraid of death, what else is there to be afraid of? For we know that we have a glorious heavenly home waiting for us. So being prepared for us in God's heavenly kingdom. Rather, we should be excited about death. So this is Mr. Bean's version of being excited.
Or Johnny English.
Okay. Okay. So we talked. Remember how we talked about the early church and how the Christians were being persecuted for their faith? Do you remember those early lessons, guys? And how, do you remember Polycarp? And how he got burned at the stake?
Mother Teresa.
You remember all those stories? We talked about people even today around the world. Guys, are we listening? Who can remember those stories? Put your hand up if you remember those stories of Christians that we talked about, who gave up their life. Well, a lot of them were standing there about to be executed, and they were actually excited. They were like, this is it, I'm going home. They were like, shoot me, cut my head off, burn me, whatever is about to come, send the lions on me. They were actually excited to go home. How's that for faith?
Whoa.
That's pretty awesome, hey? Yeah. But we can have that same faith when we know that we have a home to go to. So it makes the little things like homework not seem so bad, right? We know this is only temporary.
Ooh.
And this is the verse I wanted to... This is one of the verses that make me realize that what's in store for us in heaven is going to blow our minds. Because it's in 1 Corinthians it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Let's all say this together. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him.
You guys, heaven is going to blow our minds. Like, we think we get this picture, it's going to be really awesome. Like, we can't even picture how awesome it's going to be. And I know that because of what the Bible says. It says we can't even grasp what God has in store for the people who love Him. In this life and in the life to come, He will never stop blessing our socks off. Who likes it when their socks get blessed right off? Has anybody ever had that happen? That's happened to me where God has blessed me so much, my socks just were like, poof, just right off. Anybody else ever experienced that? Where you were so blessed? God wants to do that. All right. Questions? Yes, ma'am?
What is the one purpose they want?
What's somebody permanent? Well, actually, there are Christians who were known especially in the early church, who were taunting death. They were like wanting to die. They couldn't wait so bad to get home that they wanted to be martyred. They wanted to be killed. And they were like taunting it. In other words, they were putting themselves in the positions to be killed. Like they were doing things purposely that were against the law or whatever, like to share the gospel or something. They would go to like the place where it's illegal to share the gospel. They'd be like, I'm going there. This is my chance to get martyred. So they're actually having people that understood this so well that they actually lived like that. Now, I don't think we're supposed to go home before God calls us home. So I don't think it's good to go home early, which probably can't happen. So we don't want to end our own lives. We don't want to put ourselves in a position, but we shouldn't be afraid of death at all. And we should have, we should actually look forward to that day. Yes, ma'am.
Can I go to the washroom?
Can you wait? We're almost to break. Wait a minute. Okay, we're just going to go through this next thing. Yes, ma'am?
I just don't want it to hurt.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I prefer a quick death. That's why I don't like flying in planes. You know, if a plane crash would take, you know, the long free fall, I don't mind the part where you hit the earth and it's just over like that. But it's the long free fall before,
like, be
where
fun.
Everybody's like, ah!
That would be really fun.
That's
you're floating
part.
In the air.
That's the part I'd like to avoid if I could. So a Mack truck would be nice. Just, you know, or what's that?
Or a semi-truck if you hit a semi-truck.
Yeah, get your head chopped off. It's just like, you're just like, hey, how's it going? And that's it. It's just all over. So there's better ways to go.
Stabbing in the knife?
So you're like chicken. Do you have your brain?
Yes. So everybody tell your neighbor how you'd like to go when that day comes. How would you like it to be? What would you, would it like to be maybe by a bear in the woods? Slowly chewed to death or...
You know, I'm going to die when I'm in
the car.
You can share.
I'll be like, shoot me in
there with a bowl. Yeah, that's a good thing. Just have a heart attack. Just like a whoo.
Yeah, that would be good.
Nice and quick and easy.
It's like,
whoo.
Yeah.
Anybody want to go by like wild animal? Just get eaten? Anybody like that version?
No, you probably get
it might be kind of fun, you know, watching yourself get eaten alive. That could be
slowly ripped apart.
Why not a bus?
But what if you only
bus,
got...
I like the bus. Just, that's it, right?
What if you only got half eaten?
Only got... Yeah, that's the downside. It's like, you want to go all the way, right? If you're going to eat me, just get it over with. Don't leave me, like, with just missing a part.
With the top.
Yes.
I would like to die from oldness.
Yes. All right.
It would be cool. Whoa, this is what the inside
all right,
looks
let's
like.
Move to the next one. The goal. Everyone find the goal. There's a new verse to look
it's
up
our
there.
Goal.
Matthew 22.
Matthew
let's look
22.
Her up.
I have it.
Matthew.
I have it.
Matthew 22. Look her up quickly. Okay. Good job, good job. Who else? Everyone's looking for it. Look it up quick. Matthew 22, verse 36. Got it! I believe we've read this one before, but it's so good, we just have to keep coming back to it.
I got it! All of the commandments.
Teacher!
Which...
It starts with
the Lord,
teacher.
Right. You got
the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, and all your...
Logan's done one already. Who's new that would like to read one today? Leah Wood?
Wait, I'm just seeing if I actually got it.
Matthew 22, yeah, in the right spot. Yep, verse 36.
Oh, I got 26.
36. There it is. All right. Read her out for us.
Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?
Jesus.
Love the Lord.
Love the Lord.
And read the next verse, too.
Jesus.
Actually, all the way down to 40. Yeah, keep going.
Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart,
soul and all your heart. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor
as yourself.
All right. Good. So this verse, you guys, we've heard before, right? It's summed up saying, love God and love others, right? Who's heard that verse before? Like a million times. Okay. The reason you hear that one so often is because that one is when they asked Jesus in that text, they said, Jesus, of everything else that's taught in the Bible, what is most important?
Ow!
What do we need to remember the most? And he said, this is it. He summed up the whole Bible here. And so we call this is the goal of those that live in his kingdom. Those that live in God's kingdom are citizens of heaven. Of everything we've been teaching you, this summarizes it. Okay? We need to love the Lord with all our heart, with everything we got, and we need to love the people around us. Okay? This summarizes everything God wants us to know for being a Christian, for living in his kingdom. So if this was the only verse out of the whole Bible you had, if the rest of it got ripped up and flushed down the toilet, and this is the only verse you had left, you could absolutely please God and do everything he wants you to do just by focusing on this verse over and over again. Am I loving God the way I should be? Am I loving others the way he wants me to? Okay? So Jesus was a great example for us. Here's your fill in the blanks. He set a pattern for how to do this. Okay? So fill in your blanks there, guys.
Okay.
Jesus set us a pattern for us to follow. So he would go and be alone, receiving from the Father. So how many people knew that about Jesus? He was with the crowds, but then he would disappear, and he'd go to a mountain or something to be alone with his Father. Do you guys know that? We always see the stories of him healing people and raising dead people and walking on water. But he would do that and he would teach people. But then he would go and be all alone with his Father in heaven. And so he shows us this pattern. And then he would come back to the crowds of people and he would just give and give and give. Then giving God's love away. So he would receive from his Father in heaven in relationship with him, and then he would give away everything God gave him. So this should be our pattern too. We get to practice every day in our families. And also in our church families and in the world all around us. So at school or wherever we go. So this is a pattern where we receive from God as he blesses us, encourages us, treats us as his children. He fills us up with love and good things and his Holy Spirit. And then, now we have something to give, to go into the world, to go into our schools, and we can give that away. So at home, you guys, look at me and say, home is number one.
Home
is the first place where you get a chance to give away what God's given you. So with your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, when you obey your mom and dad, you're obeying who?
God.
When you love your brothers and sisters, you're loving who?
God.
You're loving God. So when you're doing those things, you're loving God and you're loving others. When you go to school and you're kind to your friends, you see somebody that's being picked on, and you go, you stand up for them, and you befriend them, and you tell those other kids, you guys shouldn't talk to them that way. Are you doing something that honors God when you do that?
Yes.
Absolutely. So you have right now, okay, you don't have to wait till you're my age to live in God's kingdom, to be a citizen of heaven. Every day you guys have endless chances to do this in your home, with your family, on the school grounds, in the church here. Do you think there's a chance that somebody's going to hurt your feelings here at church?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely. Your friends here are going to hurt you sometimes. So how does God want us to respond to that? How do we respond to that? Do we get mad at them, call them names, kick them in the teeth? What should we do when people hurt us in the church?
We love them.
We love them. And what do we have to do before we can love them? Forgive them. Yeah. So these are all the things we've been learning about in class, right, guys? Girls, you're listening, right? These are all the things we've been learning about. All right. We're going to take a 2-minute break. You go potty quietly, go down the hall past the adult room. Go potty, get a drink quick, be back here in 2 minutes.
2 minutes? It'll take me out.
All right, you've got a question?
While we're doing this, can I finish up?
Nope. Your assignments? Nope. Don't finish any assignments during class. Because you can't do both at the same time.
But
all right, so.
We're going to work on this week's one in class, right?
Nope. Yeah, we're going to do this week's together, though. I'll give you a minute to do that. Okay, so here's the deal, guys. Have you been noticing that this class is kind of a summary of everything we've been doing? Have you been picking up on that? We're trying to pull it all together now in a simple form to give you a few important things that stay in our minds, things that we'll remember, okay, that are important. So now we're going to move to what we call here the five passions of Christ. There were five major things that he dedicated his time here to do that stand out as, okay, well, that's obviously important because he gave that a lot of time and effort and energy. And so it makes us want to be passionate about it too. So we have these five things on the wall of the church in a couple of places. So you might recognize them as we go through them here. Okay? And these things as well are going to give us five key things. We've talked about the big goal, loving God and loving others. Okay? That's the big goal. It started with we're citizens of heaven, so we got to think differently. So what's important to citizens of heaven? We started with the goal. And now we're going to look at five important things to Jesus here, okay? So let's look at these. So we're not going to look up these verses now. We're just going to refer to them, okay? It's just for the sake of time for each of these. So Hebrews 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So everything we want to know about being a Christian, we look to Jesus, right? That makes sense? He's the one that we're following, and so we look to him.
He has blue eyes.
All right, so number one, the first one to write down.
God has blue eyes.
Okay, just come grab another one. Okay, the first, your first, number one passion of Jesus is the put in the word presence. Does anybody know whose presence we're talking about here? Why would we use the word presence? Whose presence was Jesus most concerned about in his life? Yeah, his Father's presence, right? Being in the Father's presence. So the presence of God, okay? So that's what this means. Jesus loved to dwell in the presence of his Heavenly Father, and he often left the crowds to be alone with him. God desires that each one of us would come into direct contact with the Heavenly Father. Okay? Through, and these are the different things we've talked about. Through prayer, through worship, through the sacraments. Who remembers what those are? What's an example of a sacrament? Yeah?
Communion.
Communion is an example. Baptism's another one. These are places where we meet with God in a special way. And we're going to talk, next week is all about, we're going to talk specifically about baptism and communion next week, okay? That's going to be exciting. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So these are all different ways that we experience God's presence. Whenever we pray, whenever we worship, when we engage in the communion and the sacraments, and the Holy Spirit, who actually dwells, where does he live? Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? The Bible tells us. Where?
In us.
So we experience God's presence from within. Pretty cool. Okay. Let me just see if it shows the verse. Here's the verse. So again, don't look this up. This verse just tells us about this. Again, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we love the Lord. We love to be in his presence. So that's citizens of heaven. This is number one biggie right here. We love his presence. We seek his presence. Number two, teaching. All right. Are you guys starting to remember these? Do these sound familiar? Have you seen these on the big hula hoops on the wall of the church? Yes, sir. You have a question? Will I make time? Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Good catch. I'll back up one step. I don't have it here, though, eh? Oh, look at that.
Well, it's time for all of them. So for all of them.
Shh, that's the secret. Don't give it away.
Yeah.
So the last part of your verse there, your last part of your note says, will I make time to spend with God and participate in the different ways that He desires to connect with you? So how many of you have a friend? Anybody have a friend? What would happen if you never, ever spent any time with your friend? What kind of a friendship would you have?
Zero.
Wouldn't really be a friend. What happens if we don't spend any time with God? Are we going to be very good friends with Him? No. So we have to make the time. So we wrote it as a question. Will you make time for Him to become friends with God? Number two. Oh, you got a question, ma'am? Yes? We'll get to that.
We actually, in here, I'm guessing that all of these are all of these.
Oh, you're thinking ahead. That's good. Teaching is number two. All right? Jesus was known as the good teacher. He was always teaching people. And He left the crowds utterly amazed when they would hear Him teach. They were just like, wow, man, did you hear what He said? Wow, that just blew, I can't even think anymore. My brains are coming out my ears. It's crazy. So Jesus was an amazing teacher. God desires that each of us become disciples, comprehending and experiencing firsthand the riches that God has in Christ for us, made available through the gospel, revealed in His word, the Bible. Okay? So we are students of the Bible. We are disciples of Jesus. We want to learn from Him. We want Him to teach us every day, more and more. So those who are in the kingdom of heaven, those who are citizens of heaven, love teaching. They love when the pastor teaches, or somebody else, or you're just in a discussion with somebody, and they say something about God, and you're just like, wow, I never thought about it like that. So there's a love to be taught, and to be a disciple. And for God's word, there's a hunger to know the things that God has revealed through His word. Okay, so John 14:23 says, if you love me, you will obey me. So, when we learn something that Jesus teaches, the next step is to what?
Obey.
So when we, people who are citizens of heaven, they love to obey, like you guys said, to do things that are good and right and obey the teacher. So teaching is really important to us in God's kingdom. And so it ends with the question, will I make time, time is your blank there, for being a disciple? And not just for being a disciple, but for discipling others. So God wants us, with whatever we know, to teach others. So how many of you have helped before with the little younger kids? Maybe in their kids' church program or something? That's doing this. That's being a part of discipling other people. You're loving them and teaching them. And so you're playing a part in helping the next group love the Lord. So that's good. All right. Number three. Community. Who knew that was coming? You guys are at it now. You know where we're going. Community was really important to Jesus. He shared His life fully and intimately with a small group of people. So He ministered to the crowds, but ultimately there was a small group of people. There were 70 that were considered part of His disciples. And then amongst the 70, there was a special 12 who traveled with Him everywhere He went. I think it's like crazy. Like they ate, slept, went to the bathroom together, everything it seemed they just did together. They were always together, the disciples. So everywhere Jesus went, He walked in community. God desires for each of us to participate in deep relationships. Deep meaningful within our local church body to promote healing, discipleship, and support. So these are things that we get in community when we do this together. God didn't intend for us to do this on our own. This is an interesting community to be part of.
I'm a monkey.
And you're a monkey.
So God wants you guys to have deep, meaningful friendships. Christian friendships. So the question is, will you make the time to actually be with Christian friends? We talked about this. If we love one another, is the verse here. God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So as we learn to love each other, that's God's ultimate plan for us. That we would learn how to love each other. So here's a question for you. Put up your hand if you have the answer. We already talked about it. If you never spend any time with Christian brothers and sisters, are you going to have a close community? Yes or no? No. We have to spend time together. We have to do that. And part of that, what you guys are doing here today, we're growing as a community together. We're going through this together. Okay? You already know what number four is. Let's find out.
Oh, I knew it!
Close.
The next one is...
Yeah, I changed them up a little bit.
The next one is calling.
I changed them up a little bit. Number four is mission. All right, this was really important to Jesus. Jesus came on a mission. He wasn't just kind of like hanging out and like, oh, well, see how this goes. He was on a mission when he came. And his mission is that he came with God's message of good news for the lost and the broken and to ultimately give his life for them. He was on mission. And God desires that each one of us would take the gospel in word, in the things that we say, in action, in the things that we do, and in the power of God into the world around us. And so it's also our mission. God wants us to do this. And he gave us before Jesus left, these are some of his last words. He said, before he left, he said to his disciples, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we have this catechism class. See how this goes together, making disciples and baptizing? You see how that goes together and what Jesus wants for us? And that's what you guys are doing. We're making you disciples today, and then we're going to baptize you. So it's going to be awesome. So, the next question at the end of that statement is, will I make time for friendship with lost people, people who don't know the Lord? And share the good news with them. So here's a question I want you to think. How many friends do you have right now that don't know the Lord? You don't have to put up your hand and answer it out loud, but just count in your head. How many friends do you have in your life that don't know the Lord? And if that number is zero, God wants us to find ways to make friends with people who aren't in the church. So some's going to take effort. That's going to take time to be friends with them. Okay? You have a question, ma'am? Just stretching? All right. Any questions about mission? All right, the last one we're going to...
Number five?
Is calling.
Do it!
You guys are smart. It's like you've seen these somewhere before. It's in your homework. It's on the wall of the church. Yeah. But now you know why they're there. Hey, they're not just pretty hula hoops, you know. There's actually something important going on there.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking
for that. What's hula hoops?
You may have thought, why have they got hula hoops on the wall? I don't get it.
What?
The hula hoops go with, that's our logo for the five passions. Oh, you notice that? The five loops? There's one above the sanctuary, there's one on the wall right where you come in. There's five rings.
Man, it's the Olympics.
I know, it kind of looks like the Olympics, right? You see the Olympic logo on our wall?
Yeah.
Those round circles are all supposed to represent these five things. Okay? We had really high technology when we made those. Really creativeness there. Five circles. really exciting. But the five passions is what's most important. These words are with the hula hoops there, okay? So, calling, Jesus was about his Father's business. So Jesus had a calling, that something that God had for him to do. There was a purpose. And he ministered and served wherever the Father would lead him. So he was constantly saying, this is what I see my Father wanting me to do. This is what I see the Father doing. And so I'm going to participate in it. So he served wherever the Father would lead him, even unto death. So his Father led him to self-sacrifice, to sacrifice himself. And God will lead us in the same direction, to sacrifice for others. And God's desire is that we would all discover, be affirmed and encouraged, and released into the great calling that God has for each of us. So we each have a specific job to do, like this guy holding up his sign. He's looking for a job. God has jobs for each of us, special, unique calling for every single one of us. That's something that he's calling you to do in life. That'll be different than anybody else, that nobody else can do except you. And serving one another in love is the verse that goes with this. Whatever you are going to be called to, it's going to be some form of serving people. So some people have a teaching gift, and they'll teach kids church. Like Tyler, he'll teach kids church for you. Okay? Some people have special calling to lead in worship. Who leads the worship in our church? Do you know who that is? Yeah? Super Dave. Yeah. Some people are called to lead... what else is there? Some people are called to lead the whole church and become bishops. Anybody know our bishop's name?
Bishop Todd.
Bishop Todd. Some people are called to run a business that brings honor and glory to Jesus. So there's all kinds of callings that we have in life, and they're different. But the bottom line is that God wants us to use them to serve others, to help others, to reach others, to be on mission. And so that leaves us with the last question, is will I make time to serve others?
We know.
All right, you already know that. All right. Flip to the next page.
Done.
With everything we've talked about today, you should... This is a special wheel. All right? This is a special wheel that is going to give you a picture of everything we've just talked about today.
What?
Okay? So let's see if we can start to fill out this picture. All right. In this picture, you can see this is a wheel, okay? And this is like the spokes in a wheel, and this is the hub of the wheel, okay? And this is like the tracks that a wheel leaves when it goes around and leaves tracks in the dirt. These are like the tracks. Now you'll notice there's a line cutting through the half here. And we've taken that verse, the greatest verse in the Bible, which is to love for
God.
Love for
others.
Love for
God.
And love for
others.
We've divided it in half. Those are the two things. So we've even divided our wheel in half here to help us get a picture here, okay?
A wheel in half?
We just did. We didn't cut it in half, otherwise it wouldn't work. We just drew a line across it. So this half of the wheel is going to deal more with our love for God, and this half of the wheel is going to deal more with our love for others. And this is going to summarize everything we've talked about in 10 weeks, this little wheel here, okay? What do you think should be in the center of the wheel, representing the center of our lives? Yes.
God.
So put God, Jesus, oops.
Thanks for the...
All right. Put God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there, right in the center. And now you'll notice, I missed a step here, which the computer helped me with.
Withdrew.
Jesus filled with the Spirit on this side. Jesus withdrew from the crowds on this side. So as this wheel goes around, you can picture it going around, This is what Jesus would do. Remember that the cycle of life that he showed us? He withdrew from the crowds out of his love for God, right? And he spent time with God. After he spent time with God, he returned. The Bible always often said, full of the Spirit of God, he would return to the crowds. And he would have love for people. And he would give and give and give. And love and heal the sick and the broken and teach them. And so this kind of wheel gives us a picture as it starts to turn of the Christian life. As the wheel turns, I get alone with God. And then the wheel keeps turning, I come back into the world. And I love and I give and I serve. And I get alone with God and I read my Bible. And then I go back and I give everything I just learned away. And I go back and I go alone with God and I pray and talk to Him. And then I come back and I go into the world ready to serve and give and help. Does that make sense? Are you starting to get a picture? All right, and in the center of our wheel, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Absolutely. They are in the center. Oops. The hub. Everything. So in the bottom, you've got that statement about the hub. Everything starts with God in the center. We need to accept the Father's great plans for salvation by inviting Jesus to be our Lord and Savior and letting the Holy Spirit be in control of our lives. So these things are where it all begins, and that's the center. Okay? That's the center of the hub. Secondly, alright, we talked about presence. The five passions are going to show up now. Presence is one of the spokes of the tire.
There's only four.
Okay? Yeah. The presence makes one of the spokes of the tire here. Okay? And you see how that fits in with our love for God? Kind of hard to see, isn't it?
I see something on the...
Okay, presence has to do with our love for God, being in His presence. So that's why that's a spoke on this side of the wheel. Alright, second spoke is teaching. Again, letting Jesus teach us, being a disciple. Okay? So presence and teaching. We get alone with God. We let Him teach us. We let Him fill us with His presence. Okay, the wheel down here, we have community. So we spend time with the Lord, and then as we come out filled with the Spirit, we enjoy community. We go into community at church, in our families, in the world around us. There's community everywhere. Everywhere we go. And God wants us to function in community.
Mission.
And mission. Alright? The lost world all around us is an important spoke in our Christian lives. And for us to have healthy Christian lives, we have to have all these spokes in place.
Wait.
Okay? Imagine a tire that's missing a spoke. Is that going to roll very good? It's going to be like kerplop, kerplop, kerplop.
Not right? If the tire has no spokes.
Well, all tires have some frame, some kind of spokes that hold it in place. Okay? It's the framework that makes the tire round, that makes it roll properly. It's the same for us as Christians.
Take it off, it's still bad.
Don't yell out. So these things, this gives the tire a frame. It holds it in place. These are the things that hold our Christian life in place. If we're missing one of these, if we never spend time in God's presence, we're missing a major spoke. A big spoke is missing, and our Christian lives are going to be kind of like kerplump, kerplump. And we're like, I don't get why it's just not, I'm struggling as a Christian. Why? Well, do you ever spend any time with the Lord? Do you ever let Him fill you? Okay, if that's missing, we're going to have unhealthy Christian lives. If I'm missing the community spoke, if I never spend any time with the church, with people in the church or in my family, if I never spend time in community, I'm missing a spoke. My life is going to be kind of like kerplump, kerplump. And it's going to be like something's missing in my Christian walk. Okay? Mission spoke. If that is missing altogether, and I'm never reaching out to the lost world, I'm like a broken tire. I'm missing the whole purpose. But when we put all these spokes in place, you get a nice round tire here. Okay, yes, sir?
You're missing a spoke.
No, we're not missing a spoke. It's gonna pop up here pretty soon. Okay, the spokes down in the bottom The spokes, these are the disciplines. We call these spiritual disciplines, is another word. Okay? That produce health and balance in our lives.
Right.
Soaking in God's presence. Embracing His teaching. Loving His community. Participating in mission. So we see a picture of a person training here. They're training themselves. It takes discipline to do this. So they're going through disciplines of training. And we have to train ourselves in these different areas. Okay, does that make sense? And finally, to serve and obey our calling. Okay? That makes up the rubber of the tire in this picture. Our calling. So this is where our calling comes into play. When all these spokes are in place, now our calling will take the right shape. Okay? When we have all these things strengthening us, we have God in the middle, we have these spokes in place, now I have a tire. Now I can find out what my calling is. In what way am I supposed to serve and obey the Lord? What is the special tire that I'm made up like? The special purpose that I have? The special way that I will roll through life? Okay? Now again, this picture as it turns, I need to find time for all these things. So as the wheels turn, one thing, whatever sort of hitting the ground is most important in that moment. And so I go through this cycle. I need to have all find time for all these things. If I don't have time for something, then the tire isn't going to work properly. And if I'm never spending time in the Lord's presence, my Christian life is not going to work properly. Yes, sir.
Is the video for the...
Maybe. You know where this is going. Very good. Yes, sir.
If one of the spokes is gone, then the tire will pop. The whole thing spins out of control.
Yes. Very interesting thought. Hold that thought. Yes. The tire, a tire is going to spin out of control. All kinds of things go wrong when it's missing a spoke, right? You guys can see where this is going. This is very good. All right. So fill in your next blank down there. The wheel. Okay, the wheel is the place where the fruit of the Spirit... Spirit's work in our lives takes shape and form. It forms the tire.
Forms apparently the fruit man.
And as we become obedient, we produce fruit.
It's got a watermelon.
And grow in our callings. So this is a guy who's very fruitful.
Yeah.
Right?
Watermelon.
The Bible says, remember our Holy Spirit lesson?
Watermelon six pack.
You guys remember our Holy lesson on the Holy Spirit? We talked about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? This is where our callings come into place. When the Spirit brings forth fruit in our lives. Okay? Now, we're going to fill in some of these treads here. The top half. This is the parts of you. Okay, the body says we have a spirit and a soul and a part of us that we can't see. An inside part. We also have a mind. It's the part of us that thinks and tells our body what to do and makes decisions. And then we have a body. Okay, these are the four parts. And so as our wheel goes around, these things impact us on the inside. So when I spend time in God's presence, it impacts me in my inner being. When I spend time learning the things of God, it impacts my mind. It transforms my mind. And even my body is affected. The things that I do are different because of God's presence and His teaching in my life. Does that make sense? So as that wheel goes around, it leaves an impact in these areas. These are the areas of my life that get marked. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When the wheel goes around, it leaves a mark in the ground. These are the areas that the wheel runs over in my life. It runs over my mind. Okay, you can picture this wheel running over my head. Okay, my body, my soul, every part of me gets run over, and we want it to be run over by God, okay? Question about that, yeah?
I don't have a question about that.
Yeah.
Why do you have tea and why do you have water?
Oh, we're not there yet. Yes, next question?
Why do you want to get run over by a tire?
because it helps us remember this. It's to help you remember these
things.
Yeah,
it really helps you remember it.
Think of it as, because you can now take this. You can take this and you can put this in your room and it'll remind you. You can put it on the wall. And you just look at it and go like, mission. It's like, instantly you'll go like, mission. I've done a lot of mission this week. I'm an out of control tire. And that's not good. I got to get mission back in my life. And so you'll talk to the Lord about it. These things will remind you to keep everything healthy and strong, okay? Yeah?
I just had this idea. If you don't spend presence with God, you won't be able to do your teaching. Then you won't spend time with community. Then you won't, and you'll fail your mission.
They all affect each other, absolutely. They all work together, and when one is missing, the other ones are affected. Yes?
I just thought of this. But does that mean if you lose the top half of the wheel, you lose your love for God?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But then you just get stuck.
Absolutely. Do you think if you never spend any time with Him, do you think you'll lose your love for God?
Yeah.
Do you think if you never learn from Him, you never read the Bible, you never obey Him, do you think you'll lose your love for Him? Yeah, absolutely. You guys are seeing this picture very clearly. Excellent. All right, you ready for the bottom treads?
Yes.
So if these are the things that are affected in my life by this part of the wheel, what things do you think are going to be affected by the bottom part? What kind of things are going to get run over?
Church.
What do you think? Think about it for a second. I'll let you think.
I think one of them is going to be church.
If we take community and we take mission, where's that impact going to be?
Church.
Let's take a look. Number one, in your family. Your family will be impacted. Okay? That's the first community that will be impacted by these things. So when you come out, when you go and be alone with the Lord, and you come out filled with the Spirit, who's the first people you usually will see? Your family. You're going to run right into them, probably. And your little sister is probably going to punch you in the gut right there.
Yeah.
You're going to have an opportunity as soon as you come out of your room. I was all alone with the Lord. I was in heavenly places. It was wonderful. I come out of my room and... I already have an opportunity to do what?
Serve
somebody else. Okay? You see how this is working? The wheel is turning. Second one.
Yes.
Your church family.
Okay?
This is the next group of people that you will have an impact on. As the tire goes around and you're growing in your love for the Lord, when you come out, you're gonna face people in the church where we talked how important unity was and all these things. Okay? Our church family will be impacted by our efforts, by this wheel, by our calling. Okay? A lot of us will find we have a calling in our church. Remember we talked about the body of Christ. We're all a different what in the body? What did we talk about on the church day? Everybody is a different what of the body. A different part of the body. Some are hands, eyes, nose, ears, thumbs. Right? We all play a different part. And so as I fulfill my calling, I will have an impact on my church family. You see how this is working? The tire is turning. Next, we're moving into mission. Ooh, mission impact. Alright, my workplace or my school. Alright, they will be impacted. As I'm spending time with the Lord and I'm loving and falling in love more and more and being taught and learning His presence, as I come out full of Spirit and I go to school in the morning and there's that bonehead guy, like all guys seem to do, and they're picking on the girls. And I'm a girl, not really, I'm just giving a girl example. If I was a girl, and I'm coming to school, there's Ralph. Ralph and his big snide remarks about girls, by the way. Just so you know, girls, when guys throw things at you, make snide remarks, that means they like you. Even though, like, I know that doesn't make any sense, and you think they're idiots, and it's like, why are you doing this to me? That's how boys show they like you. Sorry. Just so you understand. Just so you understand how boys work, okay? It actually means they want to be your friend. It doesn't mean they... I know it, it sends the message they want to hurt you and destroy you, and that's their love language, okay? Just so you know. Just giving you some insight. But anyway, girls, as you come out, you've had this wonderful morning. The worship music was playing as you were getting ready in the morning, and you're all full of the Spirit of God, and you go to school, and there's Ralph. He's throwing rocks at you. You can be like, oh, Ralph.
I was just like taunting.
Even though you're driving me nuts right now, Jesus has filled me with love, and so I can love you even though you're being a...
Yeah, we're friends forever.
Right? So you see how that works? See how that's impacting Ralph at school? Because you're being full of Jesus, the tire is turning. And here's the last one. The whole world is endless how much impact you could have. You guys bringing offering to church. Who are we impacting with our offering in Kids Church?
Mexico.
Yeah, it's all going to Mexico to help 50 orphans that don't have moms and dads. And you guys are having an impact in the world by doing that. Okay? By engaging in mission. And so the last line at the bottom there is the footprint. These are the personal areas of our lives. And the people groups that are impacted by the fruit we produce in our lives. We carry responsibility before God in each of these areas. All right, I have a video for you to watch.
Yay!
We're on a way to tie another
wheel.
You
want to go to the missing wheel?
All right.
The wheel.
I want to see the wheel.
This video is a video of what would happen when wheels lose the hub. Okay? Okay? What's at the hub in our wheel? Who remembers? What's in the hub of our wheel?
They lose God.
Yeah. God's in our is our hub, right? If you detach the hub from everything, or one of the spokes or something like that, here's some examples of what can happen, okay? You guys were already seeing this coming, so let's actually see some real examples of it.
We never tire of watching runaway tires, whether it be a bus tire on the loose or a car tire that almost takes out a guy preoccupied with his phone who belatedly runs for his life after the tire shattered a window and bounced around a computer repair shop. But this truck driver's lost tire...
You know, they blow, you know.
Right. Oh, it blew.
Yeah.
Puts the freak in freak accident. William Harvey lost his tire on Interstate 75 in Ocala, Florida. The tire went off the overpass onto another highway below, smashing this car. The driver was badly shaken up but escaped major injuries. Meanwhile, the escaped tire kept rolling to the nearby Ramada Inn, where it barged in a partially open door to a conference room, where Bob Hurst was just heading for the refreshment table for some cookies.
All of a sudden, one of the members said, "Look out." And right at that point, something large and black came right by my side, scratched against my leg, messed up my pants.
The refreshments were pretty much obliterated. In the immortal words of Tire Review, runaway truck tire checks into a hotel conference room.
Good morning. Thank you for calling Ramada Inn.
Hi, can I make a reservation for a runaway truck tire?
One moment.
It was a steamy stay for this truck tire.
The tire flipped over and was smoking like crazy.
But if you want to know what a smoking hot tire looks like, check out the one that came bouncing into a car dealership and crashed into a parked car. This woman at an appliance store in Las Vegas had a close encounter with a tire gone wild. Now imagine you're trying to change a tire when a runaway tire comes whizzing by. That's what happened on this bridge in Baytown, Texas, as a motorist changed a flat. A 200-pound wheel almost took out the officer. It scuffed his gun, ripped his holster, but the sergeant was unharmed. It's as if tires are out to get us. The serial killer tire in the cult comedy Rubber.
This is what our killer looks like.
It kills people with its psychic powers. So tread carefully. Help! Ginny Mo, CNN. The retread. New York.
That's pretty crazy how fast those tires are going, yeah, eh? Oh man. You imagine getting hit by one of those? Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So we don't want to be, our Christian lives, we don't want to be like those tires, right?
Yeah.
That's just out of control. And we actually cause a lot of damage when we don't have all the pieces in place. When we're missing some of those big pieces, we're dysfunctional Christians. And we actually can cause more damage than good sometimes. So I would encourage you, now that you have this, put it somewhere where you often think about it. It's kind of like a summary of everything we've learned. And it'll remind you, in just a quick overview, it'll remind you, guys, we're not quite done. It'll remind you of the things we've been talking about in this class. And with a quick glance, you can go, oh man, I haven't spent any time in the presence of the Lord this week. And it'll remind you, don't, I better do that for my own good. And so it'll be a good way to remind you, okay? Last thing we're going to do, you had a couple of questions, yeah?
But if your tire was running away, it would be pretty hard to fix it. Because you would have to find the car.
Yeah, you have to put all the right pieces back together, right? And that's what we do. When you know your tire is running off the tracks, you just go back and say, oh, this is the piece that's missing. You gotta, and the only way to fix it is to put that piece back in place, yeah? We probably won't have time today. Any other questions? Okay, here's what you're going to do. Flip to your last take-home challenge. The next page. All right, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Okay, I want you to be super quiet during this part and not talking to anybody. I want you, we've listed the five passions of Christ there. I want you guys to go through each one and just make a little note. What do you feel like God is telling you about that particular one? Like, is there some way He wants you to grow or try new things?
On 12 assignment?
Yeah, number 12 assignment should look like this. So under each title, Presence of God, Teaching, just mark down, what do you think God is asking of you? Okay? Just mark down, what do you think He's saying to you? What are things that He wants you to take more initiative in? Which one, and maybe put a star beside the one that you think you're missing the most. Which one needs the most attention in your life? Which one is God saying, you know what, you're doing great in these ones, but this one here, we gotta fix your tire. So put a star beside the one that you think God needs the most attention of yours. So some of these you might be doing good in. Others you might be doing weak. So put a star beside the one or two, or whichever ones you think God is saying you need to work on a little bit. Need a little fixing in your life.
So just say, like, what it is kind of?
So I just put a star beside the one, and then right underneath for each one, write what is it that God wants you, just something new that He wants you to try or grow in for each one. So for the presence of God, what has God said to you through these classes about His presence? What's He asking you? Is He asking you to read your Bible more, spend more time with Him in a certain way? Just write down what you think He's been saying to you personally that's important in each of these areas, okay? So just take a minute and go through them. Question?
What would mission be?
Mission, we talked about. Mission is reaching out into the world.
What would be community?
Community, right? That's so presence, the presence of God, teaching, is learning from God. Being a disciple. Community is being in community, friendships, family. He may be speaking to you about how He wants you to treat your family, how He wants you to treat the church family or friends at school. Okay, the mission is our friends at school, the world around us, helping the orphans. There's all sorts of ways we're involved in mission. Write down the ways that you feel like God is calling you to do more mission, to be more involved in mission. Okay, what is God saying about each one of those things for you? And our calling, do you need to explore more your calling? Do you need to learn how to serve? Is there certain ways He's asking you to serve? Like maybe you haven't been very helpful around home, and God's saying, no, I think you should help. You should even volunteer sometimes to do the dishes or clean your room. So there's different ways of serving. Okay, so just write down whatever God, something that you feel like God wants you to grow in for each one of those. Can you write something down here for each one? is there anything God's speaking to you about just making an effort with friends or with in your family? Is there anything in your family community that sort of deal with it? Anything in your church family with God? Remember we talked about each one of these things, you have to make time for them. So I need to make time for the Lord and His presence. I need to make time to be a disciple. So what are ways that I can do that? What is God asking of me? What are ways that I need to make time for my little sister, my little brother, what in the different communities you're involved in? God wants us to spend time there. So is He asking you to spend more time in certain ways? Your family, with your church family, or how you treat them. When it comes to mission, is God asking you to spend more time thinking and helping in the world, helping reach lost people? Is there some way that He wants you to? So even you can even ask Him that now. Just ask Him if there's any way. Ask Him if there's ways that He wants you to be more involved in. Some of our youth are going on a missions trip. Anybody here on the Mexico team? I think so. Some of our youth, yes. So some of our youth are going to Mexico this summer to help with the orphanage down there. So there's different ways we can be involved in mission. So just ask the Lord if there's some way that He wants you to be more involved in mission. And in calling, is there some way that God wants you to practice serving in a better way, and learning about your calling, to spend time helping, serving? Maybe He wants you to volunteer more often at the church, or at home, or at school. Okay, so we're just going to stay quiet for a minute here and let you guys keep asking the Lord. Keep asking Him about this. This is a practice that so when we see that tire, when we see that picture, we see those things, we got to, throughout our lives, we just got to keep coming back and saying, wow, Lord, how about now? Is there anything new you want me to learn in these areas? Is there any one of these that's not getting the attention that you say that it should? Because it's obviously important to you, God. Okay. I'll just give you another minute to keep asking the Lord about it.